Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
We're taping the special next week. I'm very excited. For those of you who have tickets, I'm very excited for the show. But then in July, I'm back on the road, writing a whole new hour, building it up. I'm very excited to do that. That's one of the fun parts of doing stand-up is just trying new stuff and hoping that it works. So check me out. I'm going to be at the Comedy Vault in Batavia, Illinois, July 9th through the 11th. New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut, July 16th through the 18th. And then in Montreal, I'm doing Club Soda on July 25th. All these tickets available at dansoder.com. And then the full list of clubs for the rest of the year is on this poster. Go to @dansoder on Instagram or go to dansoder.com and see where we're going. But I mean, we're talking about everywhere. Albany, Baltimore, Spokane, Portland, Hartford, Connecticut, all the big dogs. I'm very excited. I'm going to be in Calgary, in Winnipeg, all these places coming to run and build a new hour. DanSoder.com for all those tickets. Thank you for watching the podcast. Are you married?
I have a live-in wife.
Yes.
Yeah, she lives in.
She lives in,
she stays there.
How long have you been married for?
A while.
Yeah?
We've been together a long time. We've been together so long. We've been to people's weddings, and then they got divorced.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had three of those.
Dude, that's...
How old are you?
44.
Yeah, I'm 42.
Yeah.
Mid-40s is where you start seeing them come, like, yeah. Weddings that you remember having a hard time getting to.
Yeah.
Divorce.
Yeah, like, how dare you? There should be like a rebate, like a 10-year rebate or something.
Yeah. Like you send in a coupon and you're like, I'm going to need Delta miles because I bought a plane ticket.
The destination wedding shit, I think I've never been to one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't
think the one I went to that was the most destination is still together. So I'm very happy about it. We went to Guatemala.
Guatemala. But
it was a beautiful wedding.
She Guatemalan?
No. They're both white people from the United States.
Oh, wow. How dare they?
How dare they? But it was, I didn't realize it was like kind of a, a cottage industry where people are like, do you want to go to dangerous Central American countries and get married?
My friend got married in Iceland, but that was like an elopement. And he just had like, you know, his parents, her parents, and like a few, you know, really close people.
Yeah.
That was cool.
They had a beautiful wedding at like an old church and it was like really fucking great.
Your dollar goes far. Goes real far.
Yeah. I think that might've been one of the reasons because it was a beautiful wedding and it wasn't that big, but it was like definitely, it was the most destination wedding I've ever been to. Where was your guys' wedding?
We went to Hawaii.
That's great.
It was it's the greatest idea we ever had. Anytime someone's like, oh, we're going to have a wedding. I'm like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because it's so much money. It's like so stressful. Because the wedding isn't for you. It's for everyone else.
Yeah.
It's for like your fucking parents and stuff. I think it's a bad idea.
We keep joking around that that's like, what are we doing? Let's just go let's just go to the courthouse. Because we haven't
go to the courthouse. Go to Hawaii.
It's the idea.
We have a party later.
That's what it is. It's the idea of like setting up the whole wedding.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's daunting. Especially both of us are busy. So you're like,
are you doing it?
We haven't started even setting
it
up.
Don't do it. Honestly, don't do it. Because you can have a party for a third the cost. It's more fun. You're already married. You don't have to do all this stuff. Everything about it's better.
I've also heard in New York City, if you say it's a wedding party.
Oh, they
know. Will charge you 30% more.
Of course, because they know.
That's what Liz from the seller told me. Mm-hmm. She was like, don't ever fucking say you're doing a wedding.
No, say you're having like a fucking like a bereavement. Say like, oh, yeah,
dude, these people are happy whoever died.
We're doing a pre-bereavement. My dad is dying.
And he's a prick.
Yeah, we hate him.
People are looking real forward to this guy going in the dirt.
If you could serve his food cold, make sure he gets cold food.
But also, we're going to play a lot of songs you might hear at a wedding, so don't be alarmed.
Yeah, it's because he used to be a music producer, so he's reminded of the money he lost. We're trying to push him into the grave.
And he's also behind some of the biggest hits at weddings, like the song Celebrate.
But he didn't get the money. He didn't get the money.
That's why we want him to die. Yeah, we want him to remember. Yeah,
I would be... Cool in the gang.
That would be a stupid thing that I would do, where I would like meet a party event space and go... This is our like wedding party, and they'd be like, that would be something that I would give up that info.
Yeah,
you that can't. I would tell a smarter friend, and they'd be like, why would you say that?
I have a friend who is a pretty famous actor in England, and whenever he has someone come over to his house to do like work, he has to hide.
Really?
Because if they know, it's like, oh, it's you, mate. It's like they're gonna fucking, oh, money bags here.
Sir Roger Dalton.
Well, what is it, Sir Timothy Jason James the Fourth?
Oh, your father was a duke, his father was a duke. I'm charging you 8 times. Does he have like a hiding room, or does he keep going into a different room as they walk into the room?
Gosh, I didn't think about it that way.
Because I would be like a. I would, if it happened enough, I would have to set up a place where I go. I'll just be down in the panic room.
A panic room? Yeah. The contractor panic room where you hide from.
Contractor's going to fix the backyard. You're like, I'll be in the panic room. Mm-hmm. Let me know when he leaves.
I hate it because my mailman knows me. And it's like.
That's fun.
It's cool, but it's also kind of like.
That's old school.
Yeah.
But you're right. He does. He can go through your stuff.
He can. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's kind of a good thing. It's kind of like. Like having someone has your back in a way, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It's good and bad.
I would, it does give the feeling of a neighborhood.
Yeah. I live in like a real neighborhood though, for real.
Yeah. In Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. It's like very neighborhoody. Like I know my neighbors are regular people who have like normal jobs and stuff.
That's
great. It's kind of great.
This is like, I don't know any of my neighbors.
Really?
We've been here for a couple of years and it's like they leave. And then what happens is sometimes the maintenance guys will be fixing the locks so you can walk around their empty apartment, which we've done on a couple of things.
They tell you like, hey, Dan.
Yeah, they like me.
Hey, Dan, this place is empty. You want to sniff around?
Well, I'll be like, hey, is it cool if I go look around? They're like, yeah. They're like, don't do anything. But then you go and you go, holy shit, this is nicer. What we've realized is we are the tiniest apartment on this floor by a lot. Like the way our apartment is constructed with like the hallway all the way down and then it opens into a room, you go, this is like Secret Family apartment where they go, walk in, the kitchen's all the way back to the right. There's a room right there. Don't fucking make any noise. Cause we went to the one over here and it was like the sweeping views, how beautiful the living room was. I was like, oh, this is way nicer.
Is it rent control? Is that a
not
thing?
Rent control? There are rent control apartments in New York, but this one isn't. This one is a big company that owns it.
I don't understand anything about New York living. I feel like it's like the most daunting thing.
It is.
I can't imagine living here.
Survive it. You don't like thrive in it. When I go to LA, Pimp's nodding his head, but it's true. It's like you go to LA. You guys have backyards.
Oh my god, it's so nice. It's ridiculous. Like when I was living here for about a year for the first season of Fallout, and I stayed. Three different places, and one of the places I stayed was a high rise.
Sure.
I was going nuts because you wake up and you have to go. I need to go outside immediately when I wake up. I have to go outside. It doesn't matter what the weather is. I got to go out there, put my feet in the dirt.
Get grounded. Yeah. Here you have to go through it's like leaving a spaceship. You have to go through like a decompression chamber, and then they're like, release them to the outside. It's like, that's what it feels like. But... the one thing I will argue New York over any other city is the availability of anything you need at any hour.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a giant city, and also all the best stuff is here.
It is great. It is a better place. I do say that a lot, that New York is quite literally better.
It's just we have like the premier Broadway show. Like you want to do Broadway, you want all the concerts to come here, all the big bands come here, coffee, restaurants.
Best coffee, best restaurants.
Best restaurants, you just go and you eat and you go, this place is unbelievable, and not a lot of people know about it. What's funny about New York is, and I'm sure LA is a little bit like this, a restaurant will get written up in like the New York Times that wasn't supposed to, It just happened with this sandwich place that I like. And then you show up and you look at one of the employees and they go,
bombed.
We got a write up. And you're like, fuck.
That's bad.
And then you have to like wait for the people to not go anymore.
I don't do that anymore. I can't wait.
Yeah. You're like, I need it now.
If I go to a place, like I have a coffee shop in our neighborhood. If I go by and it's busy, I'm like, oh, I'm not going there. I just don't want to. I just hate it. Something about waiting in line now.
I think it's punishment. That's something that's broke humanity.
Yeah.
Our patience is absolutely zapped from Instagram.
It's patience, though?
I think it's patience. I think, like, young people especially, I mean, I don't know. I'm not young, but a lot of the bitching
You're
is...
You're not young?
No, I'm very old. I'm 70. I lied to you. You go, you look fantastic. 70 years old.
The shades are drawn. You got to have, like, no sun.
And then you see it, I'm all fucking old and shitty. But, like, I watch videos and they're like, oh, we can't afford houses. It's like, yeah, either can we.
Yeah.
But also, you're like 21. Chill the fuck out. We're in our 40s still waiting. Like, we've been waiting in line for houses, a lot of us being like, all right, any day now. And then 21-year-olds are like, I just got here. And you're like, fuck you. I don't have time for that.
I kind of go back and forth on it because I also feel like the whole patience thing is, I don't know, I feel like it's like, it moves around. It's not like exactly, I feel like I'm pretty patient.
Do you remember the DMV before phones?
I haven't been to the DMV in...
Probably since before cell phones.
I tricked the system. I somehow was able to renew my license for the past like 15 years.
Really?
I have to go now when I get home for the first time since I moved to LA.
But you have a phone. You just go look at your phone. You just sit there.
I have to get my picture taken. See, check this out. My photo on my ID.
I want to see this.
It's ancient. It's an ancient photo.
Because you're a young-looking guy.
Look at this fucking photo, man.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's from 2005. Isn't that crazy?
That looks like a missing child.
It does.
It looks like you showed back up.
And I'm going to get doxed here.
We found you. We found you, John. Yeah. That is going to the DMV for the first time in 15 years.
I know.
It's easier because you have a phone. Back in the day when you had to like sit there with a magazine and you'd wait.
I still do that now, though.
That was patience. It's like waiting and being like...
Did you ever do that, though?
Yeah.
You would do something called friction maxing. You hear about this?
No.
You're going to like this. Friction maxing is this... Obviously, it's an online idea. Like everyone's maxing. Everything's maxing.
Everything's maxed.
So friction maxing...
It's the 80s again.
We're 80s.
Everything's to the max.
Friction maxing is when, instead of like making it easy on yourself, you make it the hardest way possible. So... If you need, let's say you need like a roofing contractor, you don't Google that. You ask someone and they're like, oh, I know a guy. And you're like, okay. You check them out. You just do like everything it takes the longest way as opposed to the easy way.
I'm kind of thinking I might be into friction maxing.
I think
that's how I live my life.
Me too. I'm into friction maxing now. Like if I go to the doctor's office, I'm like, I'm not looking at my phone the whole time. I'm just going to look at people.
Now, they call that raw dogging, right?
Raw dogging, yeah. I mean, I like friction maxing better.
Friction maxing does sound better because raw dogging is sex without a condom, and that's the coolest thing in the world.
Which is also just known as sex.
Yeah,
like, just sex. For thousands and thousands of years, it was called sex, and now we're like, oh, you're raw dogging? That's just what you do.
Yeah, no, using a condom is the weird part.
Yeah, that's
you're putting plastic
weird.
On your penis.
It's like
rubber on your dick.
Top padding. I'm top padding.
That's it. Turns regular sex back into sex, and then if you use a condom, you're top.
Oh, you top padding?
Oh, your top hat?
Yeah,
oh, fancy boy.
I'm a top hatter. Yeah, natural.
Tip of the top hat. When you pull it off. Tip of the cap. I filled it.
Tip of the cap. Wag of the finger.
When you're on a show like, did you play Fallout?
I didn't until I got. Cast.
And then when you got cast on the show, do you go, what a cool, what a fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
It was cool. I mean, I've seen the game a bunch because I had, back when I had roommates years ago, they played the game. I would watch them play it. So I was pretty familiar with like the way it looked and like.
So you kind of knew what the feel of the game was, post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. And also like the humor of it too, kind of.
When you do the show, how much of the game did you play before you filmed the show?
I played probably like maybe, I don't know, 20 hours, 30 hours of Fallout 4.
Great.
In a hotel room in Brooklyn.
That's very fun. Yeah. That's very fun. And then is there stuff like when you play Fallout and then you film the show, is there stuff that comes up in an episode where you go, I know that. I played that in the game.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's so many Easter eggs. It is, I mean, everything's an Easter egg.
Yeah. That's what you have to do to do something, to turn something from like a video game to a show, you have a fan base that's going to be like, I need to know that you know the important shit. So that's what I like about Easter eggs.
Yeah. Also, it's like that thing where there's no amount of Fallout I could play that would be legitimizing, would like legitimize my Fallout fandom. Like, I just can't. There's people who played that game for thousands and thousands of hours who know, they get in arguments about different stuff. And I have, you know, I mean, I just can't, I'm not even going to try to do that. Sure. So it's better for me just to be like, basically, no.
Have you bumped up against the fan base in any way like that?
Or, no, they're so cool.
They're so like cool about it?
Nicest you, people.
Those sometimes that can be a real, like, I'm a wrestling fan, so I understand.
That's right. Yeah.
So I understand, I know how bad it could get because I am one of them.
Yeah.
And you like see it and sometimes you're like, chill the fuck out. Sometimes fans are the most critical of other fans, but sometimes you have fans of something that ruin it for the fan base because they're assholes. So it looks like that's the representation of the fan base where you go, no, it's just a dickhead who also happens to be a fan of Fallout.
There's just so many fans that kind of run the gamut. But it seems like...
Have you had just positive interactions, though?
Yeah, totally positive. Everyone's been really positive.
That's it.
But it's, I think it's because it's a, you know, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
If they ruined the, if they ruined it, they would have been just, you know, put on a pike or something like that.
Yeah, dude, that is... So pissed. That's where it's like God of War is. They're making God of
War.
Right.
I think it's...
They're like filming it right now, I think. Or did they...
Is it, what's his name, Kratos, Thanos?
Yeah, Kratos.
Kratos.
Whoever's, they cast the guy who plays Kratos, and you look at it, and you're like...
Is it someone famous?
I think you would know him. He's an actor that's not, like, off the top of the head famous.
It's not Dave Bautista?
That'd be sick. Dave Bautista is, I mean...
He's great, but also, I feel like he's too known,
you
know? Like, you want someone who's less known.
You need him right on that cusp. Ryan Hurst.
See, that's great.
But you see that, you know that guy. You've seen that guy,
I mean,
right?
That man is... I always see as a beard.
Yeah.
That's like pure...
That man is just a beard.
That man's been on an island.
Yeah. Look at him. That beard is cool as shit.
Is that a Sons of Anarchy guy or something or what? Yeah, I don't know.
Can you look up? I think he was in Sons of Anarchy.
No disrespect, Ryan, but I don't. I just don't know.
Yeah, he was in Sons of Anarchy. Who did he play in Sons of Anarchy? Fuck. He played... He was like a big character. What's funny about that is, as someone who's played a shit ton of God of War... The first time he says, boy, you're going to be like, you need... what's crazy is you're going against a voice actor who's really good. So what do you take from that?
Some skinny guy, you know? All those guys with super deep voices. I mean, you have a deep voice.
Yeah, that's... I mean, ideally, that's who I'd get to play is like a cool...
Right.
Greek god or Roman... Whatever he is, Greek or Roman god. But I think when there is something made... Like, your character is in the video game.
No.
It isn't.
None of the characters are.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
It's like, except for maybe a few NPCs. Like, there's a guy...
Which, but that makes it easier, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it has to be, because that's the nature of the game, is there aren't... There's NPCs and stuff you encounter, but there's no, like... You play as a character you make.
You make your own loadout.
So there's no... which helped a lot, because they didn't have to emulate anything existing. They just had to get the world right, and the characters are like, does this character exist legitimately in the world? And if it does, it's like, you did it. But otherwise, it's like, you know...
Hey, everybody. When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 per month, a lot of people wonder, what's the catch? No one, I bet no one else has asked you that. I bet no one else has asked what's the catch. Well, me alone can tell you firsthand experience, there isn't one. No gimmicks, no gotchas, just unlimited talk, text, and data, fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team. Mint Mobile is a catch. Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right with premium wireless for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/soder. That's mintmobile.com/soder. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/soder. There's no catch. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 GB on unlimited plan. Additional tax, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know my thoughts on therapy. I think you should use it. I think it's incredibly helpful if you're going through stuff. Being able to talk to somebody that can help you figure it out in a way that isn't personal or has their motives behind it. Therapy to me is just the way to go, especially in this day and age when you have supercomputers in your pocket, getting your brain all riled up. Maybe go discuss how you can calm your brain and have a better life. And if you're looking for a therapist, they have 30,000 of them. That's how many are at their disposal. So you can find someone, whether it's online, in person. And by the way, they care about if you match or not. If you don't match with the therapist, well, then you can just go find another therapist that you do match with. And then the work can start getting done. The initial meeting, you know, that you can, they take it in, they find your goals, and then match you with somebody. So you don't have to say yes to everything this summer, but find support in therapy. Sign up, get 10% off at betterhelp.com/soder. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/soder. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I don't really, yeah, you think about that, because when you're doing an existing character, you're like, oh fuck,
people now get so pissed. Like, yeah. His hair goes left. His hair goes left. It's like, that is left. It's like, no, but when you're looking at it, that's his left, not the left that you look at.
Now I'm out of it. Now like, I can't watch it.
Nope. Her breasts aren't big enough. Her breasts are too small.
That was, remember when they got mad about Lola Bunny not having giant titties?
Who's Lola Bunny?
From Space Jam, when they redid Space Jam with LeBron.
I don't remember. I don't know. I'm not really looking at a bunny's tits as much, Dan. I'm not really into bunny's breasts.
Sorry, I'm a furry. Then you look over the corner, you see stacks of rabbit heads.
There's like a guy in a raccoon costume masturbating. Yeah, I'm like, oh no.
Sorry, his pleasure hole's open so he can show me his little red rocket.
Oh God.
But yeah, they were like, when it was during the pandemic that Space Jam came out with LeBron, and they were like mad about it because they said they made her too athletic.
Oh God! Which one's the new one?
This one was the first one.
Okay.
From when we were kids, Space Jam with Michael Jordan.
And that right one.
Then
one's
they
the
made
second.
Her the second one, and they were like, immediately they were like, "What? Where's your tits, dude?"
Yeah, she doesn't have much of a waist.
The first guy that tweeted that is out of his mind. That he was like, "Space Jam, Flo's tits are gone."
Kind of a hero though, too.
The guy loves tits.
He's like,
I don't think you could ever argue you love tits more than that guy.
I'm going to say it. Everyone's thinking it. Excuse me, council member, where are our breasts?
Where are Lola Bunny's big, beautiful bunny tits?
This is the Bronx City Council, sir. I don't know why.
But it's also like, remember when they did Sonic the Hedgehog? And they
oh,
gave
my
him
God,
like,
people lost their mind.
With his eyes and his teeth?
I heard a theory about that they did it on purpose to get press.
Oh.
Because there was such an outrageous...
People got so fucking mad.
So pissed, but everyone knew about it. Like, I knew about it. I'm not like a huge Sonic person or anything, but I heard about this. Like, what are they so pissed about?
You're not in the Sonic lifestyle?
I know. I didn't roll in here.
Yeah, that's what they did. They turned him from the left to the right because they were like... do you think they on purpose make the one on the left?
I mean, that's a pretty deep conspiracy, but that would be cool, right? You know what I mean? Like the whole idea of doing something.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it makes more how we see everybody move now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think like 20 years ago you'd say that and you'd be like, what a weird thing to do. But now you go, absolutely.
Yeah. Everything's done to like the whole P.T. Barnum, no publicity is bad publicity thing.
Everything's a work now.
Yeah.
They're all trying to get you to work. They're trying to get you mad. Mm-hmm. So you pay attention. Because what sucks is a lot of people realized people pay attention when they're mad.
So oh, yeah, because it gets you in a higher emotional state.
Yeah.
So you're like,
I saw somebody
sweating.
Yeah, I saw somebody online saying that, like, there was a certain point where they went, why are we selling pleasure? Let's sell anger. Anger gets people way more on board and it gets way people, as opposed
sucks,
to like,
man,
enjoy your life. Like, enjoy your life. Have a slight, like, they used to, like, I know this is like a lot of what used to be isms, but it is true. They would be like, hey, if you work hard, you get a nice house so you can enjoy your life. And now they're like, everyone's against you. And you're like, oh, fucking kill everybody. But it does. It gets you to pay attention. We both know about the Sonic movie because people were mad about the teeth and the eyes.
They were so pissed about it.
Never saw the movie.
I didn't see it either. I should see it. It's supposed to be great.
Really? Is it one of those ones where they go, there's actually a message, and then you find out it's about pediatric cancer whole time, where you go, I thought it was about him collecting rings. And
have you ever seen Chris Angel live?
No.
I saw him live forever ago. This is in Vegas. Dude, it is rough.
Really?
Because he brings out a cancer kid, and you're just like, oh, God, I'm a couple beers deep. I came to a magic show in Vegas, and then we got a cancer kid out here.
Also, it just doesn't
like, ooh.
Being the dangerous, spooky magician and then bringing out something that's actually dangerous and spooky.
Yeah.
Like, you go, what's wrong? Can your mind not handle? This kid has stage 4 lymphoma.
And he's wearing a Batman mask. And it's supposed to be his kid, but I don't think it is, because obviously his kid's not doing 3 shows a night for...
You don't know.
You don't...
He goes, I'm so magical, I pull the cancer from him and put it back in.
Oh my God. I put it into my motorcycle collection. You got to walk by on the way in.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
You walk by a collection of all the motorcycles that are increasingly not drivable. Like, they're like, you know, like Batman style, yeah, where that doesn't move.
Yeah. You're like, that's not street legal. That can't not be street legal. I would love to go to Vegas and do street legal or not with his motorcycles.
Oh, my God. You know who you could do it with is Gary Oldman, because they're friends.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? Gary Oldman and Chris Angel are buddies.
Like best friends? Like beer friends? Because I feel like sometimes you find out that like Ben Affleck and Jimmy Kimmel drink together or like hang out. You go,
that makes sense, though.
But Chris Angel and Lieutenant Dan... is pretty crazy.
Lieutenant Dan.
Gary Oldman. Oh, no, Gary Oldman.
That's Gary Sinise,
Gary
right?
Sinise. Yeah. My bad. I'm sorry, it's Gary Oldman. Commissioner Gordon. I'm sorry, White Boy Day.
It's okay. It's okay, Dan.
It's pretty good.
It's okay, Dan.
It's pretty good, Oldman. You've been working on your
that
Oldman.
That was my Sinise.
Oh, no.
That was an Oldman? That was Oldman?
Oh, I thought that was your Oldman.
That's my Sinise. I can't go on the Apollo mission. I got sick, guys.
You know what? Framed differently, like seeing people in public.
My now Oldman is, I'm seeing. Here's my Oldman. What the fuck? I don't know.
It's pretty good.
I can't do it.
It's pretty. Honestly, I like cold. Trying celebrities.
I can't do Oldman. He's such a chameleon.
He is. Because my Oldman would be, it ain't White Boy Day, but that's...
Is that... What's his
name? True Romance.
Which is the greatest character of all time. What's his name in that character? Something Youngblood?
Something Sliced. Look up True Romance, Gary
Oldman. God, that's the best fucking character,
he's
man.
He's got his eye all fucked up.
Dude, that would have been me if I was that age. I would have done that character.
I was Brad Pitt in that movie. Just a stoned roommate that lives with the guy going through shit.
Such a great character, too. That was like the fucking ultimate. You hear people say about Brad Pitt, right? He's a character actor who just happens to be.
Yeah, his name was Drexel Spivey.
But what was his real name, though? Wasn't that... I'm confusing him with the character from what's it called? The Professional.
Yeah.
What's his name plays? That white dude who's got the dreads.
Hold on, I got it open right. I got IMDb open right here.
Same as like Mickey Two Steps or some bullshit like that.
From what movie?
From The Professional.
That movie's real tough to watch when you get older, because you go, oh, this is kind of about.
Have you seen the French version of it, Leon?
Leon the Professional?
Yeah. It's a little different. It's even more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like full romance?
Yeah, because it's the French version. The French are like, you know her age.
Beauty exists at every age.
She's so beautiful. Stansfield
is Gary Oldman's character. Stansfield.
Oh, does he have like a nickname?
I don't know, man.
He's got like a nickname like Mickey Youngblood or...
saying Stansfield, so
Keith.
Also, it's funny, is I've smoked so much weed that when you ask me from a movie from the 90s, I go, it's kind of in there. I remember Natalie Portman was around my age, but so the French one, they full on have Leon and the girl.
It's just a different cut of the movie. I think there's more of the romance. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long
time. Doing one of those movies that ages poorly, and then like doing press tours where you go, well. I just don't think we knew that that's how that was going to go.
I can't even say it. I don't know if it ages that poorly. I feel like it's one of those things where, did they have a romance? Because he was kind of a simpleton, wasn't
he? I think he was like a shut-in, and she was actually, I'm talking about what I want, the American version, is like her childlike wander and things, and her like trying to learn about the business, and he realizes how bad it is.
Maybe I'm forgetting stuff.
He's a protector more than a...
He's like a killing savant.
Yes.
Like asexual killing savant.
And she teaches him how to be a human.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised in the French version if they're like, but they are in love. Yes. They want to have, she is a nubile.
You know him.
She's a nubile young girl.
Because about, what's her name?
I'm kind of uncomfortable with this, guys. Especially with the Epstein files out and stuff. I just don't know.
Oh, right. I heard about that.
Oh.
Did you hear
about that? Oh, yeah, someone told me about that.
Oh my God, you know, I just remembered.
Oh, those came out.
That's like a New York thing, right? Because didn't he, Jeffrey Epstein, that's from here.
That was the funny, the Jim Downey on Conan's podcast, where what he goes, Jeffrey Epstein, the New York financier. Like that was his.
Really?
Yeah, it's so funny. It's one of Jim Downey on Conan is one of the best episodes of a podcast I've ever listened to.
Watch that
because he just goes through all these old jokes that he wrote for Norm and all this shit. But yeah, he does the.
Man.
He goes Jeffrey Epstein, the New York financier. Oh my God! It's summer time to travel if you want to, or to stay at home and learn a new language. Traveling would probably make it easier, but if you want to learn a new language, try Babbel. Babbel, just 10 minutes a day, can help you start having real conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Phrases you use ordering dinner, asking for directions, talking with locals. It's built for real life. They have language. Lessons are quick, practical, and built by more than 200 language experts. And unlike cramming before a big trip, Babbel fits into your actual schedule whenever you can use them. Babbel's award-winning app has sold over 25 million subscriptions and is backed by a 14-day money-back guarantee. So if you got summer travel coming up, now's the time to start so you can actually use what you learn on the trip. Right now, Babbel's offering listeners up to 60% off. Go to babbel.com/soder. That's Babbel, BABBEL.com/soder for up to 60% off. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
It is crazy to, if you have any family that goes, I don't know what the Epstein files are.
I wonder if I do. At this point, God, I think there's probably some people out there who don't know about it, right? Because they're like, their window of information is just so
been
narrow.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it's been underground being pushed by like QAnon and then like 4chan and 8chan
That's
and
the
shit.
Problem.
And then it became real and then people are like, right. Oh, you think people have it in their minds? It's like, oh, it's just internet.
It's
conspiracy.
Like Pizzagate.
Yeah, to them, which is part of it.
It
which
is.
Turns out, might not be as false as people are saying.
Isn't that crazy? It's like everyone has egg on their face now about that.
It's exactly what we were talking about with the Sonic thing. It's right. Just like a way worse evil version of that. Where you go, I bet it is true. I bet there is parts of it that are true so that they can go, that was a crazy conspiracy.
Well, there's
theory.
A CIA technique they use called poisoning the well.
Yeah.
Where they take something that's true and add a bunch of crazy psycho shit into it. So everything associated with that seems like it's nuts. And it worked. It worked with that.
I would have loved to have known that technique in middle school. I could have made myself sound so much cooler.
There's so many CIA techniques where it's like middle school kids would be like, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Ergo prop, Hoctor prop, straw man. Well, teacher, actually, what happened was my father, I don't know, I can't even
yeah, that is, but that
here.
Really is like true. Where you're like, I think I was dosed to learn your, like, the MK Ultra.
It's like, if I miss one day of school, what if I miss a week? That way, it really sells the,
I'm
gonna like, going too far.
Whole bus on a version of this. So this is my group that I'm working on. They're like, you MK Ultra'd your whole bus? You're like,
MK Ultra.
Yeah, that's the big one.
The ultimate.
Which was really just like mind fuck.
Oh, yeah, because Ted Kaczynski was a victim of MK Ultra.
Have you been looking into him recently?
I know all about him.
Are you really?
About Ted?
Are you really? Are you for real?
Yeah, no, did you watch that?
Because I've been reading a lot about him. So if I'm gonna go into some stuff where you're like, if you don't know about him, we're getting into a place where...
I think I know a good amount.
He wasn't wrong.
He wasn't wrong, but
you
also
should not bomb people. You should not send explosive devices. People. I just want to, that is a statement from the Soder podcast. Here at the Soder podcast, we do not approve of sending bombs in the mail.
That is a felony.
Felony.
I think that's,
don't hurt anybody.
You're going to get mandatory minimum on that.
But if you read his shit,
I haven't read the manifesto, but I do.
There's, you know, parts that you like, go. Yeah. Some of this shit lines up. Just about technology, about the eroding of society, yeah, about how it will kind of take away our basic functions and make us reliant on this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then you see there's a lot of people that were on Kaczynski's list that he sent bombs to that were on the Epstein files.
Oh.
That were collaborators with Jeffrey Epstein and a lot of shit. And you go,
wow.
Okay. In fact, one of the guys was a professor at Yale, and Kaczynski sent him a bomb that blew out his right eye and like took out his hand. He almost killed him. And he just recently was a Epstein co-conspirator that had to leave Yale because of his ties with Epstein. And you're like, dude, this motherfucker Kaczynski was doing this in the early 90s. We didn't even have dial-up yet. Yeah. And this motherfucker's like, nah, this is going to be a problem.
And he was a virgin.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. You don't know about this?
That's I did not know.
Have you seen the miniseries they did?
No,
it's
because
really
I
good.
Feel like
it's good.
Is it?
I mean, I think it's true. It's not like, obviously, they don't make him a hero.
Sure.
But they do explain everything, and they go into the MK Ultra of it all. So if you think about what he did, he was a victim. The government is essentially responsible for him.
Sure.
Because they created him.
Yeah, with the MK Ultra stuff, they made him lose his mind. And he is brilliant.
Yeah.
So he has his also, I'm not like a Kaczynski fan. I'm just like, it's crazy that there were parts of his shit that you go,
yeah,
fuck,
for
man,
sure.
It's not wrong, but also he was taking wide stabs at what technology was going to be. But yeah, the government created this fucking insane genius.
They created him. So
and then he had to go live in the woods because he was so paranoid.
Yeah.
But he never fucked? Do
evidently
you think that
not.
Stops the bomb?
I think definitely, yeah. Unfortunately.
You think good pussy stops?
Yeah, I think Kaczynski? It does. I think it's a thing where that like that much buildup is going to... It's like a bomb in your pants, essentially.
Yes.
And he had to get it out.
And he needed to send it to someone.
And he just couldn't get it out alone. And so
I wonder if a lady laying in on a mattress with a sheet in his cabin is like, Ted, will you come back to bed? Like, he's got those, and he's like, just bombs like an American. Yeah. And he's like, I do want some pussy. And then like six people are alive, you know?
There was something where, I mean, I don't know how true it is, but in that miniseries, he makes like a handmade gift for some woman he knows, her child, and he sees the kid like loving this electronic thing. It's probably a narrative device. It's probably not real, but
sure.
It's just that thing where
I am going to watch. I'm not going to lie. I know you came here to promote something, but I'm going to watch the Kaczynski miniseries now. I'm going to look it up.
Watch Mermaid and then watch that.
Watch Johnny's movie Mermaid, then go into Kaczynski.
It's a Kaczynski tie-in. It's a great appetizer.
It's a nice amuse-bouche.
It actually kind of is in a weird way because the character I play in that movie is sort of, he's like a Kaczynski Florida man.
Okay.
But not as, you know, not as violent.
Is this a movie that you made yourself, like with a bunch of other people? Or is this an indie film?
Indie film written, directed by Tyler Kornack. He's a great writer-director. He did a movie called Butt Boy. Have you seen that?
No.
The title indicates something else.
Yeah.
But it's a hilarious, amazing, incredible indie movie he made about five, six years ago. Super funny, just very dark.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that movie, and we became friends, and he wrote this movie, and we made it, and I love it. Yeah, it's super great.
Do you think that's where the industry is going, is just people being like, I'm just going to go make it. And then
absolutely.
We talk about this all the time. It's such like you make something and then the big companies go like, give it to us.
Yeah.
We've got money. Give it to us. And then something always happens. But I feel like indie movies, indie music, indie comedy specials, everything is going the way of, there's too much bureaucracy with the big corporations.
There's not enough money in the studios anymore either.
Well, it's all going to their CEOs. They're not like putting money back into the company.
It's absolutely terrible. I even talked with a woman who is like sort of about to retire from, I think, Lionsgate or something like that. And she's like, it's the worst it's ever been.
Yeah, no one's positive.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Kind of deserves it too, because it was very opulent for a while, and they really were feeling themselves, telling people how to behave and act and vote. And then you go, you guys are a business that is dependent on people wanting you around. Yeah. And I don't know, I just feel like the entertainment industry, especially in the last 20 to 25 years, really got like...
Well, last 6 years. I mean... The last 6 years, it has taken a dive that is...
That's what I mean. I'm saying, like, I think the last six-year dive is because of the 25 years of like, hi, I'm Anthony Hopkins. Here's how you recycle. And it's like, why are you telling me how to live? You play other people. I think people just got sick of the entertainment industry and were watching the fall off.
Definitely from COVID, for sure.
Sure.
Well, everyone consolidation.
No one had anything to do, so they were watching everything.
And from the strikes.
Sure.
And the strike's not really resolving anything. The strike's like, oh, how about, can we have $2 more? I'm like, okay. Like, oh, we did it. It's like,
it was so funny watching them be like, no AI. And the studios were like, we're using AI. Mm-hmm. And the actors were like, not that much AI.
A little bit?
Yeah, and they were like, maybe. But I don't feel bad for the studios. I don't feel bad for these companies. I feel like the true thing should be, fuck it, let's go full nepotism. Let's make the studios' kids have to make the movies now. Like, you work there. Your dad runs 20th Century Fox. You're the director of their big... You're doing the new Bond movie.
You have to direct it.
Amazon Studio. Bezos' daughter has to do you have to make the Bond movie.
They could do that. They could also just make everyone, no one gets paid. You only get back end points.
That's great.
The case, then, like, you know how Todd Phillips did that with The Hangover?
Did he?
Yeah, because they didn't want to cast, like, any of those guys. They didn't want to cast Zach or Bradley or any of the people he wanted. The studio did not want them. But he was like, these are the guys. I have to have them. You can pay me the minimum rate, and I'll just take more points. I think this is true. It sounds true. And they're like, okay, fine. And he kind of won that one, didn't he?
that's like what Ryan Coogler just did with Sinners.
Okay,
and there's always like that thing where people get mad and they go like, why is he doing it? But South Park set themselves up years ago. I believe this is true, but they did something like where they got the George Lucas deal on their merchandise, where they were like, we want 90 cents of every dollar.
Less up front, more later, because you're banking on it being a success.
Yeah, and I think the reason they went with Comedy Central was Comedy Central was like, we'll give you that merchandise deal.
Yeah.
And then South Park merchandise became big. They have their own studio. Now they can make their own shit. Now that, you know what I mean? It's like they freed themselves.
Pretty great.
That's the thing that always is. It's like, if you ever want to make something, you have to find a certain freedom that can let you make a movie like Mermaid.
Yeah, or, well, we have a financier. So, I mean, it's an indie movie, so
do the financiers come around the set?
Yeah, but he's great. Our executive producer is a wonderful guy. He's like a DP himself, and so you know.
I was just wondering if it's like very rich people who are like, I wanted to make a movie.
I mean, sometimes it is. I think it's all over the map, but. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have great, great taste and they like someone's work. Because he financed Tyler's other movie.
Okay.
And so it's just, you know, getting bigger and bigger movies. Like
Works out great.
It's a $2 million movie. That's our budget.
That's great. Which and is, the guy goes, I got that. You want to make that? And then you go, fuck, we can make this movie. Have you ever been on a set? Because you've been on some big shows and big movies like 21 Jump Street. Have you ever seen a financier come around and go like, oh, this guy doesn't realize that he's only here because of the money?
I mean... Well, those studio movies is different because those are like, you know, they're like producers from the studio there.
Sure.
So those guys, I don't know. I don't think I've ever been on something where it was like that. I mean, I've heard stories about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I personally.
Because I'm always fascinated by those people that are so rich that they don't understand that their help isn't needed or wanted. Oh, yeah.
Like, get out of here, man. Just enjoy it later.
Yeah. I mean, we never really had any, we had like a lot of like business people around billions, but they never like, they were always like, they treated us like they were at the zoo.
Really?
They just like walk around and be like, whoa, this is pretty cool. And show you like they, you know, poke you and shit. Like, oh, so you play one of the finance guys. I would fire a guy like you. Like,
you go, that's what, yeah. There was always a big laugh.
Yes.
You have to laugh with them. Like, you would, huh?
That's the Hollywood phoniness that I've absolutely participated
in. You gotta do a little bit.
Like, oh, yeah. And then I walk away, and your face drops. You go, all right, well, I'm here for another 12
hours. But those guys, if they do that, those guys are never that cool or effective. some of the biggest producers I've ever met were like nicest, most chill dudes ever.
Yeah.
I remember meeting Neil Moritz once in a makeup trailer. He said, "Hi, Johnny. How you doing?" He's like, "I'm getting a haircut."
I control the world.
Yeah. You've made the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
And he's like such a nice guy.
That's always what I'm interested in. Like, it's funny to me when friends of mine have had success that they can touch these people that are like very successful. And you're like Tim Dillon's a guy where you're like, I can't believe all the people you've had lunch with that have probably affected world policy and shit.
Like arms dealers and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's the joke I always make is when you hang out with Tim, you meet someone that's like despicable, but they're nice. Where they're like, I'm Anna Child Soldier. My family put children soldiers. And you're like, that's one of the jokes I always make because it is always someone like that where they're like, I'm from Dow. And you're like, oh, God, so you pour forever chemicals in rivers. And they're like,
still doing it.
But I love the way Tim just tells it like it is.
And I love your podcast. It's so you're so funny.
But that Billions had a little bit like that. Like you'd be on set and they'd be like, I was talking to this old guy one time and he walked away. And one of the creators was like, you know, that's the guy that shorted Enron. And you're like, whoa. I would have had a way different conversation if I knew that.
Yeah.
I would have been like, how the fuck did you know?
He doesn't want you to know that, does he?
No, he was trying to talk to me about like metal siding. I was like, what's this guy's fascination? We were like looking at this building.
Really?
Talking about metal siding. I was like, yeah, I don't know. That metal siding. He's like, do you think it could come down? And I was like, I don't know.
That might be what they call an autist.
Yeah, maybe. And then he like saw ahead. He like touched the computer and was like,
yeah,
it's going to crash. But that's always amazing to me where there's like people that do crazy shit, but then have just like social lives where they're like, like all those Artemis people now are like coming back.
Really?
From going around the moon.
They're getting laid now?
They're like all coming home and having like these like weird things where they're like, hey, it's good to be home. And you're like, well, I want to talk about the moon. I don't want to talk about... They're like trying to have regular conversations.
You couldn't pay me to suck a space dick.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're like, that's the conversation I want to have. Like aliens up there. I don't know. I'm always like... I'm always fascinated that people can compartmentalize shit when they've done really cool stuff because you're like, well, that's just all I want to talk about. But I also could see how that would be boring where you're like, please don't bring up that thing again.
I think that's the case. I always feel like those people don't want to talk about it because it's not, unless you want to really get into it.
Sure.
Then you can't get into it. So let's talk about something that's like fun, like dogs or like, you know. Oh, actually, yeah, I'm doing my own coffee now. I do, I'm roasting my own beans, you know?
You go, I don't want to talk about this. And they go, but this is what you want to talk about. Because I'm like, I think I get that way. When I meet, like, fans of comedy that want to talk, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll talk comedy all day. I love talking comedy.
I don't.
Really?
Oh, my God, it's like the worst.
See, I like it when they're like, oh, I like this stand-up. I'll be like, oh, okay.
Really?
I think it's, like, interesting because you're, like, finding out. But I'm also a wrestling fan, so
yeah,
it's
so
like,
that's like a fandom thing.
Yeah, I think I've been too harsh on LA because LA does have a lot of cool stuff where you bump into people that are also making like that whole city is.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about it is something that as I get older I'm starting to turn on, which is that I do like it. I felt like everyone was in the business every time I went there, and that
you
was
used to
like,
be a hater of LA.
Oh yeah, big
really?
Hater, big hater of LA.
You know the whole meme about LA and New York, right?
What?
You seen that one? It's from, I think it's from, what's the show? Don Draper show, you know.
Oh, it's like Mad Men. Don't even think about you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I hate you every day.
I fucking love New York.
Yeah.
I don't live here, but I fucking love coming here. I love it so much. Like, I can't live here, man.
Yeah.
It's too cool. But all these New Yorkers are like, fuck LA. It's like, why? We like you.
I know.
You know. We like you a lot.
You know what it is? I think it is early in the business. Everyone goes, you have to move to LA. And a lot of people are like, but I don't. I like living in New York. And they're like, you gotta go there. And then it's like, honestly, I think it's like going to a place and only seeing a shittiest part where you go.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Because once I had friends move out there and they live there and they have backyards and shit. And you're like, you go and they live, like you say, you have neighbors that aren't in the industry. You just live in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you have the meme?
I mean, it's pretty well known.
Yeah. LA, New York. Yeah, I don't even think of you at all.
Other way around.
Oh.
It's quite literally the other way around. LA fucking lives in your head, man. Yeah.
They do.
Who
you know
made
what?
That? That's the wrong. That's the wrong fucking meme, man.
Misinformation.
That's quite literally, did you just make that.
Yeah, it's funny. He's over there.
He doesn't give a fuck about New York because they're a bunch of like, you know.
I will say what LA people.
That's the wrong direction.
What LA?
Oh, I'm walking here.
We turn you four.
I'm fucking walking here.
Johnny moved here. Johnny lives in Brooklyn now. He lives in a 3-floor walk up in Brooklyn.
I used to watch that movie all the time. I wanted to just bang on a cab so bad.
And then you do it and you go, oh, these motherfuckers are from a country where they will fight me.
Yeah.
They go, bang on me. I paid $100,000 for this medallion. I'll fucking kill you. And I'm going against Uber now. But it was a thing that I will admit as a reformed LA hater that I was just like, fuck LA. It sucks. Blah, blah, blah. And then you go out there and you're like, I think the reason we say it sucks so bad is because your quality of life, maybe not quality of work.
It's a different quality of life.
Yeah,
it's a different thing.
As you get older, you go, it's quiet.
Oh, it's so quiet.
Like you go out there and you go, they have a backyard. I live in an apartment with my 50-pound dog who's like, can we please go to grass? And you're like, I think as I get older, I understand it, but I couldn't live there because I'm too lazy. I would get a backyard. I would get a house.
Stay there.
And I go, I'm not fucking going.
I mean, I don't leave. I've left the house in the past 3 days. A house, I mean, my hotel.
Yeah.
I've left it. I've done more than I've done like in almost a month in LA.
That's what I mean. Like LA, you get somewhere, do spots in LA, and you're like, oh, do two spots. And you go, yeah, it's great. There's like 2 hours in between it. And then it's 50 minutes of traffic. And you're like, why did, and then you go, I thought I could do a show in Santa Monica, and everyone in LA goes, and you're like,
it's like a different planet.
I know. So I could never live there.
I did a spot, had the greatest chicken sandwich I've ever had, and then my friend's like, you know, this movie's starting in 10 minutes. You want to go see it? I'm like, it's right around the corner. I'm like, okay, let's go.
That's what
and
I mean.
I saw a movie. Like, what the fuck? That's wild.
I came home last night, and I was like, Katie was like, how'd the shows go? And I was like, oh, like, and then I realized I did 5 spots in one night and didn't even have to like pretty much leave an area.
That's nuts, man.
And you go, oh, I had 3 good ones, 2 sucked. And I said that. I went, 3 were good, 2. Holy shit, I did 5 spots. Wow. I did 4 at a club and 1 at a bar show. And it was like all within the same area.
I think that makes the type of stand up in New York different.
Yeah, you guys perform your asses off, and I will say that.
Yeah.
I think that's something that New York comics don't like to admit, but we're starting to come around on, too, is like, man, LA comics, you guys stay in the bit. You perform it. You actually are in the bit. We are so concerned with laughs per minute and punchlines and shit that we're just like, blah, 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 blah. All right. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like the next one.
It's also so crowd worky here. It's kind of... Oh my God, it's insane. There's some shows I've done where...
This is like when you don't know you got fat, and then you see a picture and you go, oh fuck, I'm so fat now.
It is, though. It's the kind of thing where there's certain audiences where if you don't talk to them, they're just not going to laugh.
I hate that.
I fucking hate it the most.
I hate it
so much.
Oh no.
It like hurts me.
This feels like a doctor diagnosis where they go, we found something in your blood. Mm-hmm. And you go, was it crowd work? And they go,
yeah.
Lethal amounts.
You have an extremely high amount of crowd work.
You have a lot of... Have you been doing a lot of How Did You Two Meets?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been doing that? It does...
You've been doing a lot of... What's that necklace?
Oh, that's a nice necklace. What sucks is following crowd work and it's your friend and you can't get off stage and go, you fucked me.
Because it's so live. It's so like...
Well, people engaging. Like it now. Everything is social media's engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't even think about that shit. I don't think the whole, like, people complain about, like, oh, you have to do crowd work for clips. It's like, I don't give a fuck about that shit. That's like a different thing. You're living in, that's your world. I don't know. That's like, for me, I don't care about that. But
can I tell you, someone that's confronted other comics about crowd work clips?
Who, you?
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
What do you mean, like, confronted, like, saying, like, you're kind of, like, full of shit? Sort of, like, you're
not
just,
full of shit. I just go, stop. What are you doing? You're, like, you're slopping up the world.
Yeah.
You're like making it where everyone thinks stand up. And this was like a person I've known for a very long time and it did not go well.
Really?
So I will not do it again.
I
tried to joke around about it. I was like, yeah, it's like you and crowd work clips. And they were like, why would you say that? And I was like, well, it's true. And then it was a couple months of.
But you see again, what people say about it though. The comments on them are.
They know the rules. Listeners know the rules. You see me live. You can ask who it was and I'll tell you. I won't say on the podcast.
I bet I know.
I bet we'll guess. I bet you can guess afterwards.
Either way, the people don't like it anymore. There's a lot of comments that they're saying like, I came to see you talk to one guy for 10 minutes. Because that's not, it's so.
I'll tell you what makes me fucking furious. This truly like Pavlovian makes me angry. Is when I'm at a show and someone's doing crowd work and they do the thing. Because I've watched Big J do like some of the greatest crowd work I've ever seen in my life. Like truly a performance.
He can do it. He has that energy.
He could have been an interrogator.
Oh like, my God.
He could have been a CIA interrogator.
He has that thing that, you know, I have a good friend who's even bigger than him. He's like a really big guy.
Sure. Well, Jay's skinny now. You were there at the bonfire yesterday. You saw
him. Yeah, but he's still like, he has the presence of a guy who, if he sits down to talk to you at a table, you're going to be like, yeah, I stole it. It's just,
him sitting down, you go, let's get down to business. And you're like, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir.
Like he carries himself. He's not hurried.
Sure.
There's certain people who have a deep voice. They're like substantial physically.
Sure.
And if you're unhurried, there's like a confidence in that where like someone like me is going to be like, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm so desperate for approval that I go, well, here's the thing. And then also, if you're not mad, you can leave at any time.
Right.
But you're right. People that can just sit in it and go like, we don't have to make anything happen. Mm-hmm. We can just, he's great at it. But so I like crowd work when it's done well. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really makes me mad is when I hear someone ask somebody something and whatever the person says, the comic just repeats in a silly voice.
Oh, right.
Where they go, where do you work? And they go, I work at a financial firm. They go, oh, this guy went, oh, I work at a financial firm. It's like, I want to shoot you.
Yeah.
If this was the Old West, I would draw on you right now. I would be like.
Because it's like a trick. People will always laugh no matter what. It's like a parlor trick or something.
Fans of comedy that are listening to this right now, do Johnny Pemberton and I a favor.
Go see movies and don't go to comedy shows.
No, go to comedy shows. You son of a bitch, you cut me off.
Go see Mermaid.
Go see Mermaid. Absolutely go see Mermaid. Johnny's an unbelievable.
You can also see me do stand-up, too.
You're hilarious. But here's what I don't like about you, is that you're good at everything.
No, like, I'm not.
As someone, I had to like kind of learn how to act to get through Billions.
Yeah.
You can act your dick off, but you're also a great show.
Yeah, but my stand-up is not, like, I say this, I'm not proud or ashamed of it. I've done probably half or less the amount of stand-up that someone who's been doing it as long as me has done. Like, yeah, I just don't have that many reps.
But what I like about admitting that honesty is that you go, you're being honest in a way that I think people in your position don't have to be. Where you go, I don't have as many reps, so come see me do stand-up. I'm still kind of figuring this out. Versus like, and I hate to say this, a lot of LA people, they'll go like, I've been doing comedy for 30 years, but you find out they haven't been on stage in 10 years.
And yeah, go, there's definitely a ton of bullshit like that. That's definitely from the comedy boom.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, some of that stuff I'm just like, fucking get this over with. It's dying. It is dying.
It is dying.
I do think that like legitimate, I'm putting it in quotes, but like legitimate stand up, the kind of thing where people aren't doing that thing where they're saying like, I don't even describe it. The thing where you say something sort of like that crowd work bit you're talking about, where you say like,
oh yeah.
Where you're just going up there, you're doing stuff where there's no takeaway.
Yeah.
There's no takeaway at all.
There's no punchline.
It's just reactionary laughing that's breaking the uncomfortable silence. It's not actually funny.
Yeah.
It's just this weird, a human response they're generating.
Well, the funnel is, and what I was going to say before that is, if you are at a show and someone does that crowd work thing, call them out on it, please. Mm. I'm sending my own little soldiers into the field.
Yeah.
Call them out on that. This is my Ted Kaczynski. These are my little pipe bombs I'm sending.
Your pipe bombs?
Where I go, don't say that in that tone again. Call that out on crowd work would be fantastic.
I mean, I think those people are they're going to go away.
Well, that's what
it's not sustainable.
It's the pipeline of what used to feed into like DJs in like the 2010s.
Oh my God, because I was a DJ for a long time and I wouldn't tell people I'm a DJ because I was so embarrassed of it. I would say, oh, you're a DJ, right? You spin? I'm like, I played records sometimes, yeah.
That's That's the humble way of doing it. But like,
oh my God, being a DJ is.
But it's gone now. Everyone used to be a DJ. Now no one's a DJ. Before that, everyone was an MTV VJ.
Yeah.
Like everyone wanted to be on MTV.
Like Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah. But guess what? Now, if Jesse came along, he'd go, I'm doing stand up.
Oh my God. And it's
pretty crazy. I got an hour. And you're like, no, you're not, though. You're just like, so I think this will stand up, it'll pass by. People will go to another thing and use that for clicks and views and fucking money. And we just have to remember that. We just have to be like, it's almost over, guys.
What
true
they
fans of comedy, we're almost through it.
Cream always rises.
Yeah.
True heads always know.
Well, I knew it got too big where a couple of years ago, there was a comic that was like, what am I just going to like keep doing this and work comedy clubs until I'm dead? And you're like, you'd be lucky.
Uh-huh.
You'd be lucky. It always makes me think of the scene of Office Space where he's like, what do you guys want to work at Inatech the rest of your lives? And Samir goes, that kind of security would be nice. But you're like, that's how I feel. If I knew I could sell out the Funny Bone for the rest of my fucking life, like, give me that. Give me that all fucking day.
I kind of feel differently about that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Something about certain road stuff where I just like, excuse me, I ate oatmeal. I'm a big oatmeal guy now. It's saving my life.
I'm real big in oatmeal. But you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to go work comedy clubs.
It's just the traveling. And
that's the road. That's what stand-up is.
Yeah, and I don't love that.
You gotta
that.
Like, go do your act. You gotta go work the act.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Actors will say I'm not an actor, and comedians will say I'm not a comedian.
Yeah.
Because of what I just said. It's like this thing where
I get that. You're in like a weird world where you know, like, I don't wanna do that.
Because for a long time I didn't like doing the road because I didn't have fans. And
sure,
so when you're
that
doing
shit sucks.
When you're in like fucking Columbus, Ohio at the Funny Bone and you look like you're like a 16-year-old girl like me, people they're not respectful to you.
But don't you feel like you're at a point in your career now where you could go on the road and people will come see you?
Yeah, now I am. Sure. But I still have this like I'm doing Honolulu on May 28th at the Blue Note.
Blue Note.
Yeah.
I've heard that great shows about.
I mean, who cares? It could be the worst show ever. I'm a fucking Hawaii, man. I don't care. You can throw a chair at me.
I wonder if Hawaiians get mad at that where they go, can you bring it? Can you fucking bring it?
I'm going to bring it.
Because every single person I know, I have the same reaction. I go, I don't know. I'm doing a show in Hawaii. Who gives a shit? I'm going to be in sandals. And the people of Hawaii are like, well, it'd be nice if you really tried. It'd be nice if you actually showed up and fucking tried to have a good show. Why do the people of Madison, Wisconsin get a tight show?
Oh, they really get it too.
Yeah. But then Hawaii.
I'm also doing Madison in July 9th through the 11th.
At Go to Comedy on State.
Yeah. That place, man. Holy shit.
Best club in the country.
It's nuts there.
It's very good. But I understand what you're saying. You're kind of in this middle ground where actors are like, you're not going to, you're not doing Shakespeare in the Park. You're not doing all this stuff. And then comics are going, you're not at a fucking Chuckle Hut in Oklahoma City for $2 a weekend.
I've done some of that. And good. I've felt the burn. Felt the burn years ago. But now I can, like, I have fans coming, which is great. So I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the people being on board with what I'm doing. Because before, you know, I would do like weird stuff. And if you're doing weird stuff to people who are wasted and got comp tickets, they just don't give a fuck.
Oh,
they will talk over you.
Trying to do personal material where the drunk table doesn't care.
Oh, God.
Where the drunk table's like, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. And you're like, I was talking about how my uncle was busted.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't even know. It's her birthday.
But that shit is so incredibly terrible. There's no reason to keep. I think if that keeps happening, then I don't know. That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not a life.
I would argue. What my argument against that would be: when you do comedy long enough, people know you now. Like, there's not.
Right.
There still will be groups of rediscovery of people that don't know you. But it's. I've always. Last night at the Cellar, there was this audience that Ravello and I were texting about because he went on before me and then he left. And later in the night, he's like, did you like that crowd? I was like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
They were like sensitive and dumb, which is like the worst.
Ultimate worst combination.
Worst combination. But the saving grace was there were a couple people that I could tell the way they were laughing that they knew me.
Oh, right. Yeah,
and so I just performed to them and it saved my time on the show because I went like, there was a guy like by the half-baked poster that kept laughing. And I was like, this guy gets he's laughing at all the right stuff.
Right.
So I'm just, I'm not doing the four girls that are on a girl trip in the front row going, no, when you say something they don't like. You just go, I'm going over you. I'm talking to them. Fuck that. But I understand what you're saying. When the audience is all those people,
yeah,
shit sucks. But I think you're at a point now where there will be people in the room where you just go, you're my friend. I'm going to talk to you.
It's
like being at a party where you only know two people. You just go, I fucking know these two people. I'll talk to these people.
But sometimes it's like, you know, I feel like when you have people who are, you have to look at them and it's so much, it takes so much energy. Yeah. It's exhausting. Yes. And a lot of times I'm like, I just don't feel.
I completely get that.
The money is not worth that. If you can make it elsewhere, it becomes not worth it.
I wish more people had that attitude. I wish more people had that attitude. And I think if more people had that attitude, I think comedy wouldn't be as polluted with people that are just doing it to make money.
You mean hacks?
Yes.
Yeah, they're fucking, they're hacks.
Yes.
That's what pandering is. Yes. Is they're doing it to, but so much of comedy is built around pandering.
I know.
And it's,
you're talking to a guy that pandered probably the first 30 years of his life.
I mean, I've done it recently.
Yeah. Where you know? When you have a pander feeling,
yeah.
When you feel that pander, you go, in your soul, you go,
it's terrible.
Ew. But I think there's people that go, shut up, soul. And then they just keep going until that they don't make that noise.
Because they don't give a fuck because they're so, I mean, I think the biggest trick that comedy industry ever did was convince comedians that it was art.
It's not.
It's not at all. It's a service. It's a trade.
It can be art. We are a truck stop blowjob.
Like, it can be, though. It can be artful.
If done right in the right situation, at the right, like what Richard Pryor did with some his first special, what Chappelle did with Killing Him Softly. There's like moments like what Maria Bamford does.
There's art there.
You go, that is artistic.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of times where.
But we're not artists.
It becomes, when you're doing multiple shows in a place that you don't want to be with people you don't want to know, you are not, that is not art. You're babysitting. Hooker. It's a trade. Yeah. And all these club owners who are, let's face it, these guys are crime pimps. Tangential. They're
that's how it started. That's how stand-up started.
Yeah,
if you read any history book, the reason they're called stand-up comedians isn't because they stood up on stage. It was, I mean, you should read that book. I have it here. The History of Comedy. It's fucking, this one, it's phenomenal by Cliff Nesser. This one right here, it's called, you should read this if you're a fan of comedy. It's called The Comedians, Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy. He put it out in...
I think it's in the front, right?
Yeah, where is it? It's like, but this is like the book on comedy history.
Didn't, I was told...
2015 by Cliff Nesteroff, who was, I'm probably fucking up his name.
That's a crazy name, Cliff, K-L-I-P-H. Yeah,
he's a Canadian comedian, but... He does the best job I've ever read of where stand-up comedy came from. Mm-hmm. From its vaudeville beginning and all that shit. But it was for the mob. The mob would have these supper clubs and it'd have these things and they'd have bands and they need someone to be funny and tell jokes.
And it's cheaper to pay one guy than it is to pay five guys.
And also we're pandering fucking hookers. So they all knew this guy's not going to get out of line. And so the reason they'd say that is like, oh, he won't narc on you. He's a stand-up guy. So there's like a stand-up comedian. Yeah, that's where it all comes
from.
They talk about it in this book.
Oh, it's so fucked.
You would work for quote-unquote the outfit. You would work for the mob. And they'd be like, yeah, that's what all the... You were like a lot of the times the first like
old
circuits...
Old Tony. You gotta work for old Tony. Yeah.
That's what it, dude, there's a guy in there that thought he was too big for the mob and they cut his fucking tongue out. And he survived and he never learned it. They cut his throat open and fucking put his... It's crazy.
It's gonna be me.
And it's because you're saying... You're talking too out. Yeah, ask where they're from and then repeat
it. You don't want
to
do the Oklahoma funny bump? Okay.
But it's too big. Yeah, you're too big. Maybe you don't walk around too good no more.
Yeah, why don't you chew on this gum?
Yeah, it really is a fucking awesome book about the history of comedy, though. Cool. And it's like when you read it, you go, we're too comfortable right now. They talk about the vaudeville acts. They would be in these beautiful theaters, these like pristine, beautiful theaters. And backstage, it would just be like, 3 feet of plywood and rats and shit. And they'd be like, you got 3 shows tonight. And then they would have to like the Marx Brothers in this talk. There's like old interviews where they talk about sleeping in train stations so that they can make the next gig. And they're making like $3 a gig or some shit like that. And you're
that's never going to change though, because people will always, actors, comedians, anyone who's doing something that they want to do will always get paid less because they know that you want to do it.
Yes.
And so you'll suffer something like, if you're like a new actor on a show or something, they're like, oh, we don't have to pay you anything.
Anything, minimum.
We can pay.
Thank God there's a union. Because if it's a union, they go, well, you got to do SAG minimum.
Yeah.
And even that, you go, it's pretty offensively low.
There's so many things where looking back, I'm like, oh, they got a fucking deal on me, baby. They got such a deal.
And you start realizing that with comedy, you know, when you don't sell tickets and you just go, I'm so grateful to be here. And then you start selling tickets. You go, you fucking crook.
Oh, my God. You the money that they make, they don't have to sell tickets at all. And they're still making hand over fist on all this shit.
It's crazy.
Like the fact is, imagine going to any sort of art event and there being a minimum drinks you have to buy.
The best. That was one of the jokes I made in my HBO special of like, there's no two drink minimum at the ballet.
Yeah.
Like we're not artists. Yeah. We're just fucking mall clowns.
Yeah. But sometimes sometimes it is kind of artful though. I feel like you sneak it in.
I feel like it's like in the way that like, it's like in the way that sometimes bad shit can be beautiful.
Yeah.
Like a fire can be beautiful. Like you're watching a building burn and you go, that's beautiful.
Like, oh, that's so fucking beautiful.
I'm an arsonist that needs to come.
Who did this? I did it.
Make sure you watch the movie Mermaid. Watch everything Johnny does. He's fucking hilarious. I don't care that you're like, actors hate me, comics hate me. I've always thought we did Montreal together in 2011.
Is that how we know each other?
I did Unrepped and you did regular New Faces. That was for something that.
When's the last time I saw you? Probably, in person.
Like before the pandemic.
Yeah, a long time.
I want to say like 2019 when I was in LA. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last time I saw you physically.
Damn, man, that's crazy.
But I've known you a while and I've always been fucking blown away by your talent.
I think your special is probably one of my favorite specials. I think Son of Gary is one of the best specials made in the last 20 years.
Thanks, man.
It's really so great.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. I fucking really worked hard and it's awesome when people that I like are like, I like the shit you made. You go, thanks, dude.
That's because I just shot mine. I was like, this is the one of the examples I used for how it should look.
I mean, I got real lucky on that because Chris Storer directed it right before he created The Bear. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a thing where I was like, well, I think it was just luck that it happened. Yeah, but
the special doesn't live on that.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It was just a really cool, and, you know, when's yours is coming out?
We're still editing it right now.
All right, so hell yeah.
Probably, like, you know, maybe this summer, maybe fucking fall.
Come back to New York.
Now that, I'll come back.
Come back and we'll play Far Cry. We'll play Fallout. Far Cry. Far Cry fucking rules.
We'll just sit around and do drugs and play Fallout for 1,000 hours in a tunnel.
Who's got Adderall? Let's fucking do it.
Do you have any?
No, I can get you some.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.